Ooh la la, Michael. And David Bowie, I guess. Wonder. Do you love those moments of wonder? Think them divine, maybe? Even some atheists do. But we just can't make wonder happen. David Bowie, some of the artists in mass mochas explode every day. Some psychologists remind us, find the child within, play. But wonder can be scary, blow our minds like the Starman. And we can't live in it. A character in one of Jeanette Winterson's novels says, they say that every snowflake is different. If that were true, how could the world go on? How could we ever get up off our knees? How could we ever recover from the wonder of it? Winterson's answer, by forgetting. We cannot keep in mind too much. But perhaps we can cultivate states more receptive to wonder. Awareness, our theme for the services this month, may be one. Like wonder, awareness of everything, though, seems impossible. I don't know how many things I'm not aware of right at this moment that are, I mean, a gazillion more than I'm aware of, right? There is a Zen story. After 10 years of apprenticeship, Tenno has become a Zen teacher. And so one rainy day, he goes back to visit his master. And when he walks in, his master asks him the question, well, did you leave your clogs and your umbrella on the porch? And Tenno says, yes. And then the master says, well, did you leave your umbrella to the right or the left of your clogs? Tenno doesn't know. And in that moment, he realizes he hasn't achieved full awareness. And he apprentices himself to the master for 10 more years. Buddhist practices like mindfulness comprise a core spiritual tradition to draw on for cultivating awareness. Today I'm focused on something like Buddhist mind-body or sensory awareness, in which the mind for the Buddhists is a kind of sixth sense. Note in this regard, we sometimes conflate three things: sensing things, our awareness of our sensing them, and being aware of that awareness. All of them matter. As Jon Kabat-Zinn writes in Coming to Our Senses, have you ever noticed that your awareness of pain is not in pain? That your awareness of fear is not afraid, even when you're terrified? In any moment, whatever is happening, we can check in and see for ourselves. Does awareness worry? Does awareness get caught in anger or greed or pain? Does awareness brought to any moment, even the tiniest moment, simply know, and in knowing, free us? There are, of course, different notions of and objects of awareness, for example, social issues or forms and patterns in nature, and they interconnect. Mind-body awareness can have a major impact on how we relate to other people and issues. Like Amanda noticing her slumped shoulders and the change that came about when she opened to shift her attitude. slumped shoulders of resignation, or say, gestures of contempt, if I bring them into a group, likely you'd react, knowingly or not. Brain scans suggest that when we see very strong physical gestures of such emotions, we actually experience them. Our brains light up as if we're experiencing them. They are contagious, as we've seen a lot lately. We all go there. And judgmentalness and defensiveness. In small group ministry, we often refer to Parker Palmer's Circle of Trust touchstones, which counsels, if you feel judgmental or defensive, ask yourself, among other questions, I wonder what my reaction teaches me about myself. Get curious. Enter into the process of discovery, our theme last month, and I think also with humility, our theme in September. But first, we need the freeing awareness of what we bring and that initial reaction, separate from having them. So what does all this have to do with ooh la la? Sounds like kind of a downer. Although my ooh la la practice was pedestrian, and it even had a desire, an attachment, very non-Buddhist, I wanted to learn to love olives. In spite of all that, I eventually came to think of my ooh la la practice as a spiritual one. And it was an awareness practice. By doing it, I began to cultivate awareness of an aspect of my own inner landscape and began to shift it. I'd always hated olives. I'd actually sent food back in restaurants when a dish had olives in it, but it didn't say so on the menu. I was to be in Spain for 5 weeks. As you can guess, olives in Spain kind of go like that. So I expected Spaniards to put them in every meal. I didn't want to go there cursing olives. Oh, ugh, another olive on my plate. So in Marge Percy's words, how could I make them new? Well, I couldn't start engineering, you know, genetic modification. So it was actually a question of how could I learn to love them, bless them, make them new in that way? What tool? I began with advice from the Globe, advice to parents for how to help their children learn to like rejected foods. Feed them just a little bit more and a little bit more of the food every day for 2 weeks. 2 weeks I thought I could take. I got olives from the farmer's market and asked the vendor, the Egyptian man in Roslindale, which to begin with and which to work up to. Because I didn't think I could work up to 14 olives in one sitting. I thought I had to do it that way. Another thing was happening then, which was really important to Marianne and me. My wife, Marianne, and I had just been thinking about what we wanted in our relationship as we face aging, loss, you know, all the big scary things like death, or this phase of our life together. And we included as a kind of balancing something we called cultivating ooh la la moments. When you say ooh la la, what do you think of? Okay, so that kind of balances a little bit. You know. The internet actually separately defines the English interjection of ooh la la from the French interjection. The English definition is said when you think that something or someone is surprising, unusual, or sexually attractive, used humorously. Yes, sexual juice, open to surprise, fun, and for Marianne and me, also taking that energy into more of life. This English meaning is also in the French, but in France, supposedly the interjection is often more often used as a negative surprise, like, ooh, or oh no, kind of like olives in my plate. Anyone on the French track here? Yeah, Marianne and I were on the English track. So much background. Back to olives. So I held up my first one. I looked at it. I smelled it. Began to be aware. Many of you may have done the mindfulness raisin kind of meditation. It was kind of like that, I was thinking. I tasted it, and ooh la la went through my mind. I noticed, as I noticed the feel and taste of the olive, that there was also this ooh la la. And I started to move my hips slightly. That gesture just went with ooh la la. So I just knew, as they say, I was aware and aware of my awareness that this was what I needed to do. I needed my body, that hip swivel, and the words ooh la la, which I began to use as a kind of mantra. The ooh la la practice was born, and it worked. I love olives. So my English experience of ooh la la connects me to my imagination of the French joie de vivre. Now, if I'd grown up French and the internet is correct, perhaps ooh la la might have had the opposite effect. Experience can hone our senses, our mind-body, for the better and also for the worse. About olives, I'd spent a lifetime saying yick, or worse, in my mind at their sight. But I actually didn't hear the strength or recognize the strength of that self-reinforcing yick, the really fullness of my disgust and my revulsion, until it persisted. It was like trying to invade my mind as I was ooh-la-la-ing. So my awareness was actually of the taste and feel of the olives, the ooh-la-la, and this yick coming in. You know, the ooh-la-la kind of lighting me up, the yick trying to say, eh. So that, but that awareness of all of them was kind of a liberation. I could go with the ooh-la-la, I could go with the yick, or maybe I could find something else about all that tasting. And I decided to go with the ooh-la-la. The awareness strengthened me in my choice to keep ooh-la-la-ing and tasting. And eventually the yick just receded. We sometimes predict what we cannot love, as I did with olives. Our negative predictions are pretty wide-ranging. Have you ever thought, oh, he's too weird to bother with? She doesn't like me. Or that'll never work. And then maybe you found out differently and learn what you've missed. Racism, other isms, hopelessness, a lot connects to our negative predictions. We curse rather than bless. Perhaps when we might have listened instead to listen to ourselves even, as well as others, to extend the range of what we can love and bless. And for me, the new awareness of what I can bless can also be a moment of wonder. So the antidote to my negative prediction, it was not thinking about the history, like maybe I had olives before my taste buds were ready or something, and then telling myself I ought to think differently. I'd already been chiding myself for my silliness, because after all, I do love capers, and they're awfully simple, similar. What was the antidote? Follow one awareness to where it led, the next awareness, and so on. Notice the body sensations, the emotions too. First awareness of my discontent with hating olives. That was a start. Then listening to my body sense about what might work. Then actually trying the new thing and paying close attention to all that I could bring into awareness. And trusting that. Trusting my own awareness. To change my being, I actually had to be doing with awareness. And I had to practice it. That's the practice part of the spiritual practice. Doing it the new way, again and again, deepening awareness each time until the change took hold. Awareness also begins to move with a process of discovery and change. And I believe that these lessons carry over well into addressing those reactions we get into. Ooh La La opened me to new pathways to joy and wonder. I took it into situations at the beginning of the summer other than olives. Joy is a pretty straightforward connection for my English-speaking me. Ooh La La, joie de vivre. I mean, the French goes with the English, if not for the French people. A wonder connection I recognized further into my process. One day, on purpose, in the Arboretum, I ooh-la-la'd. I was just kind of walking, usual walk. I ooh-la-la'd, and the clouds and the sky just became magic. That merging and that timelessness just happened. At the metering station for the pipeline, I ooh-la-la'd, and the ridge behind the quarry, there's the metering station, the quarry, and there's a ridge behind it, and that ridge came alive like I'd never seen it before. It was one of those moments, in Meister Eckhart's words, when existence leans its mouth towards me because my love cares for it. Existence leans its mouth towards me because my love cares for it. The senses are a gate to joy and wonder. Let's honor them fervently, not tepidly as we tend to do them given our New England and UU kind of culturally less sense-oriented, body-oriented traditions. Let's bring awareness to them and our bodies. That's a way to honor them. Recognizing that we are mind bodies, alive, blessed, and with much to bless.